Welcome in, Craig Kishon, now here on the program. We learned a lot in just the 25, 30 minutes or so between the end of the game and now, Craig, that Joey Ortiz, x-rays are now negative, according to Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So that might have played into the bunt decision. We also learned that maybe Chirio could have caught the ball, maybe he couldn't have. And Joe Ross is probably headed to the IL, and the Brewers lose in 10 innings in really, really frustrating fashion. I don't even know where to start with this, but just I think this is a game that you just say, like, gosh darn it, you should have won it.
Yeah, there's no question. I really believe this team should have won this game for sure. But, you know, I think you just end up kind of treading on thin ice a little bit, as deep as they had to go with their bullpen here in this one. And just how a couple of guys right now offensively are struggling. I mean, Contreras is struggling here the last couple of days. Adames is, you know, struggling in the month of May, struck out his last three times up. I don't think we need to go up and down the lineup here right now, because you're also facing a lefty, and they made the choice today to overload with righties. And really the one guy who came through was Monasterio, and no one would have ever predicted that, since he only had one hit on the season going into his at bat when he hit the home run. So kind of a bizarre game there. You lose Joe Ross after one inning. Nobody expected that. He's been pitching so well. And, you know, one inning into the game, and all of a sudden, you know, the whole complexity of your pitching staff changes. And now you've used seven guys out of the bullpen here tonight. They had to cover, you know, nine innings. So a lot of storylines, not including, I didn't even mention, you know, Jake Bauer hitting that one down in the corner, and it turned out to be a ground rule double, and a run should have been on the board, and it wasn't. The Brewers didn't score in that inning either. So a lot of bizarre things. But I'll tell you this, Dom. This is one where I think that I fear a little bit. Each team in the league at some point goes into a funk, and I'm not talking about, you know, the three or four game slides we've seen, but a funk. And sometimes it happens on these road trips, and they've only won one game here so far. And these are the kind of games that, you know, kick you in places you don't want to be kicked, and it's tough to recovery. And so that's what I kind of fear here right now as we move into the week. And you know what else? Miami's playing probably their best baseball of the season. They've won 6 of 8. As much as they look like a downtrodden, give-up team, you know, there's a lot of guys that are still fighting to win games, and they've done it lately.
Yeah, and I know the Marlins are playing better baseball, and they're now 16-33, which is obviously a not great record, to say the least. But it doesn't matter who you're facing, whether it's the Miami Marlins, whether it's the New York Yankees, or whether it's the Nashville Sounds. If you only get 4 hits in a game and strike out 10 times in 10 innings, you're not going to win. This was an offensive loss, not about what happened with the bullpen. And, man, the bullpen was fantastic tonight. It's not Mitch White's fault that with an inning starting with a runner on second base, he couldn't keep it scoreless. Of course it's not his fault. The Brewers' offense did not show up tonight. And now you flush it and try to get back on track, because you know you're going to face another couple of lefties. And quite frankly, Wednesday's lefty is a little tougher than tomorrow's lefty, so you better get your hitting shoes on tomorrow, because it's going to come at you really quickly with Jesus Luzardo on Wednesday, Trevor Rogers going tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, these are – I mean, look, if you're going to face lefties and you're going to kind of change the flow of your – not only your batting order, but who's starting and who's going to stay in the game for you. I think, you know, some guys just have to adjust what they're doing at the plate. And I hope, quite honestly, after what we saw tonight, that we see, you know, some adjustments of what the approach is going to be when you step into the batter's box, because it's gotta be able to change a little bit and to adjust. You know, you can't always win by being you and playing your game. Sometimes you got to adjust along the way, depending upon who you're facing. So I think that's what I would like to see, you know, tomorrow night from some of these guys. And, you know, if there's going to be another lefty out there too, you know, is Andrew Monasterio going to, get another start. You'd almost think so after what he produced here today. Why was he in there today? Because he's right-handed and just deserved a chance. So just things like that I would like to see tomorrow. No, it's certainly not the end of the world. But these games are out there for the Brewers to take on the road. And they started the year so well on the road. They've definitely slumped on the road here. I think they've only won two of their last six or seven or eight games on the road. So time to get one tomorrow, man.
It's go time, really, to say the least. And when it comes to Monasterio, I imagine he's back in there tomorrow since he had half the hits today for the crew. I imagine he's back in there tomorrow when he's maybe playing third base if Joey Ortiz needs a day with this big toe, with this foot issue that he's dealing with after the hit by pitch earlier today. I do want to break down Jackson Churio's decision to not dive and all of that, of the learning curve and what the numbers say about it. That's coming up next. We will find some silver linings in this one, too. Brewers fall 3-2 in 10 innings to the Marlins, game one of a three-game set. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Okay, we're going to take this segment into two parts. With Craig Kishon, I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers fall 3-2 in 10 innings tonight to the Marlins. This first part, we're going to break down the Jackson Churio decision of him not diving in the play and breaking it down. Then the second half, we're going to go back and forth, Craig, with some positives from this game because I don't want it all to be Debbie Downer. There are a couple positives to pull from this. So let's start with the play. Setting the stage, runner on second after a stolen base with two outs and a little bloop by Otto Lopez down the right field line. Churio plays deep because he's not confident going back on the baseball, so he plays a little deeper than most. He races in, looks like he's close to the baseball, but then at the last moment pulls up, and the ball falls. It's a base hit. Run obviously scores. There are two outs, Craig. I don't care if that ball is 5 feet in front of you or 10 feet in front of you, and it's a bloop in that. It's not going to get by you very far. If you don't dive, I'm sorry, we'll never know. We have to sit here and talk about, what if he dove? Because, man, that was really close.
Yeah, that was too close, I think, to hold up and play it safe. I just think in a game where there's two outs, Dom, I think the bottom line is, and I'm speaking on Churio's ability here, he's incredibly fast. He's got good instincts. And he needs to use them. And that's the bottom line. Does he need to do it every single time? He's got to do it to figure out how to get better. He's got to do it to experience it. He's got to do it, to become an elite outfielder, not just an outfielder. I think the same thing for playing deep. I know playing deep in the ninth inning late in games is, obviously a common decision and thread to use. I get that. But he's going to get more confident, I think, going back on balls. But he needs to just go on his instincts and live on who he is. And hopefully after tonight, he'll figure that out. It's the only thing you can take out of this game. That's why he plays so many games. That's why he's in there. He's in there at 20 years old because he has the ability to do this stuff. So, To me, you got to give it a shot. You got to dive. You got to do something. Because I agree, I don't think that ball is going to skip past you at all. The way it's just blooping down in there, that you couldn't recover pretty quickly.
And it's like you've got both ends of the spectrum on this team. You've got Sal Frelick, who's never afraid to dive, sometimes to his own detriment, and you got Jackson, who did not dive tonight. Now, let me end this with the conversation about the numbers. We all know I'm a numbers guy, and I try to marry the two. And one of the beautiful things we have with StatCast is catch probability. And I have access to the StatCast portal in the game. There can be some tweaking. We might see this number update tomorrow because it just smells fishy to me that it said 0% catch probability. I can see every single play based on the outfielder who was closest to fielding the baseball, what his catch probability is. And the way that's calculated, I've made a breakdown of this on my YouTube page, Dom Brewers, WTMJ, if you want to check that out on Blake Perkins. But the way it tracks it is basically it accounts for your jump, your average sprint speed, your route to the baseball, that sort of thing. if I could pick one flaw with the way that Churio went after this baseball before the decision to dive or not, it was actually something we can measure called route efficiency. How straight of a line did you run to the ball that you eventually needed to play? Now, this might be a little lower than we want because of him pulling up, but it was 84%, which isn't elite. It's not great. But the other thing that I noticed about this play, and we can measure jump, we can measure, I can get lost in the sauce with all of this stuff, but plain and simple, he needed 100 feet to make the play. You have 4.7 seconds to make the play, according to the moment the ball was hit in the air. Okay, so that's a long opportunity time, but that's from the moment the ball is hit in the air. It's really not, it's a little less than that. You got to read the ball, you got to run the ball, you got to go get it. He essentially had to cover 100 feet in about 3.5 seconds. And his jump was the best jump of his season. He covered 46 feet in the first 3 seconds, which obviously leaves not much time. And if you're running 29 feet per second like he was, that would put him at 72 feet, obviously coming up short. So I'm going to listen to the math here. We'll see if it updates tomorrow. But the point is, if you leave your feet, we're not sitting here breaking down. Like, oh, man, why don't you just leave your feet? Even if you come up empty, it is what it is, and we all can move on. So StatCast tells us that he's going to learn, he's going to get better, and maybe one day he's playing a little more shallow, and that's a routine play for him. With that being said, Craig, Christian Yelich stole home, and I have to wait till the third segment to talk about it because of everything else that happened. Christian Yelich stole home, Craig.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I just love the aggressiveness of this team and how it hasn't stopped, Dom. I mean, we saw it from opening day on, and just the fact that you got a guy that clearly knows what he's doing on the base paths and is really one of the smartest runners in the game. I mean, that thing was so perfectly timed, and a greater analogy is it was so perfectly calculated, and that's what it takes to do what Christian Yelich did. I mean, there's no way that ball on a surprise is coming back from the pitcher in any position to get him out at home. Not the jump that he had and the speed that he has, and that's why he went. He knew it, and it was just a great play, high entertainment right there, just high entertainment, just another reason to love the game of baseball because stuff like that just doesn't happen in other sports. So I hope people enjoyed that one and wouldn't be surprised to see that again sometime.
It was really cool. The data is a little spotty because of pickoffs and double steals and that sort of thing. The last straight steal of home was by Scott Podsednik back in 2003 as a rookie at Wrigley Field. And you can get technical and say, oh, well, it was on a pickoff. But that's still stealing home. Like, it was a pickoff to first, and then he just read it perfectly and broke for home. That's stealing, and I'm cool with that. And now Christian Yelich stealing on a just toss back to the mound. Unfortunately, that would be all for the offense today, but Yelly looks healthy. He continues to show off, you know, athletic moves, and he's made a couple of diving attempts in the outfield today. He stole two bases. He walked twice, but obviously didn't get a ball out of the infield. We're still waiting on that first extra base hit. Or rather, first home run, I should say, since coming off the injured list. But what we've seen from Yelly so far is certainly encouraging from the back issues.
It really is. I mean, you know, just the fact that look, that was kind of a hard collision at home plate as well. So, I mean, just the fact that he has all the confidence just to go in and take a run if he can says this guy is obviously 100% healthy. And you're right. The power will come soon enough, and when it does, it's probably going to come in bunches for him. He's just proving, you know, game in and game out how important he is to this offense here right now. And, you know, get this team healthy again. I know Hoskins made, you know, some steps today to come back. I would just love a nice long stretch instead of just a week or two at a time with Yelich and Hoskins in the middle, you know, of this lineup, which is pretty doggone, you know, tough for opposing pitching to deal with long term. So let's just all get there and stay healthy, Christian. That's for sure.
No kidding. I mean, I've said this before. I will say it again. As far as how few games Reese and the whole lineup, the core that you envisioned of Contreras, Yelich, Hoskins, Adames all playing together. There are so few games of those. It's just been really frustrating to see. They obviously had each of the first six games of the season. Those were all together. But then things started to tweak, and obviously Yelich had the back issue, started giving Bowers days off. I'm counting it out live here on the radio right now. That's nine, and that's a day off, and that's not there. And then Yelich is out of line. So nine, and then back here this past week, they had a handful of games there. So it's a total of 13 games. 13 games that Contreras, Yelich, Adames, and Hoskins have all been in the same lineup. 13 of them. So it's May. It's May 20th. It's the end of May. It's almost real now. When you get into June, it's no longer early to play ball. But I want to see when you can get those guys all in the lineup at the same time, I think it's going to be a different team.
Yeah, and it is. It's clearly going to be a different team. And if this team, you know, skews off of the unlucky part of just being not healthy at this point and stays healthy in that second half, there's so much baseball left here. This is a talented team. You know, they're going to – I think the biggest thing for them is to figure out how to keep this pitching going. What we saw tonight was pretty extraordinary. Just to skew back to that a little bit, this is why this is such a tough loss. That, you know, they really should have won this game, and I'll just hope it doesn't have any lingering effects at all. That's for sure.
Yeah, I hope so as well. One other positive, I mean, I know they ultimately lost, but the bullpen to spring into action the way they did today, Jared Koenig, man, this dude has turned heads, and I am really happy for him because. Look, even if he gets optioned tomorrow because he's going to be down for a couple of days or whatever they decide to do, this dude has been literally all over the world in every type of baseball you can imagine. And here he is kind of quietly finding a home right now for the Brewers, 2 2/3, scoreless innings today. He's pitching with the lead at times. And I know he's allowed a few runs here and there, but, man, a lefty that can give you length. Brian Hudson was great again today. Hobie Milner's streak ended, but he was still solid. What the bullpen did today, springing into action, cannot lose sight of what they did today.
No, not at all. And I'll be honest with you, Dom. You know, my underlying hope with Koenig is that they're able to not have to use the bullpen in its entirety the way we saw tonight over the next 2 days. And you can give this guy Tuesday and Wednesday off. You got a scheduled off day on Thursday, then he's right back at it Friday. So you don't lose him for, you know, 10 to 15 days, whatever it is. I mean, that would be pretty detrimental to how important he's become in the short term to this bullpen here right now. So hopefully they'll figure out some things. They're going to have to juggle the roster, you know, perhaps not only just starting pitching, bullpen, you know, position player as well. We'll see how everything pans out tomorrow. But the bullpen, I just don't know how they're still getting it done game after game with how many guys that have been in and out and sent down, recalled, all that. It's been phenomenal. Not to have, you know, Devin Williams in there all year, how these guys are covering it. It's pretty phenomenal stuff. And, you know, it's just a credit to the organization for how they find guys and develop them and tweak them along the way as the season's gone. We've seen it all here so far.
We certainly have seen it all. Craig Kishon, you've seen a lot too, and we'll see you again tomorrow here on the radio. Thanks again, Craig. Appreciate you joining us.
All right, pal.
All right, cheers. As we'll hear from Pat Murphy coming up next, some other thoughts as well, as we're going to the top of the hour, about halfway through, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.